League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to another edition of We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Now, this is Star Wars Week.
Oh,
here on We Hate Movies.
Oh my God, it's out on Friday.
It is. It's coming out, man. I mean, people are probably going to be seeing it like what, Wednesday afternoon,
whatever the thing is.
Why are we even saying movies are coming out on Fridays when we're not doing that anymore?
I can't do the midnight thing anymore. I'm done. I'm an old man.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's happened. It
sucks.
World has passed me by.
Yep.
I'm falling asleep no matter what it is.
Yeah, last one I sort of did it for was Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
I went by myself. I had a tall glass of water, went by myself. An obese security guard sat next to me and fell asleep through the whole movie. And I was like, you know what? This is the last time I'm doing this. I'm not enjoying this. This movie's only okay to begin with, and I'm tired.
Then you're getting out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Who needs it? Anyways,
no. Yeah,
this is Star Wars week.
Yes.
You can also buy our Sithmentary out now.
That's out now.
So you listen to this thing, you're like, hey, I like when these guys talk about these shitty Star Wars prequels.
Right.
I wish they did that Revenge of the Sith piece of shit.
Right. So it's a syncable commentary track throughout the entire running time, holy God, of Revenge of the Sith.
Now we're talking 2 hours and 23 minutes. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible, but we'll get you through it. You sit around with us. And we'll talk about the movie.
Oh, the movie's, yeah, I should have specified. The movie's horrible.
Yes.
We're fantastic.
Oh, it's hilarious, as always.
The best. Honestly, the best in the biz.
So today's episode, by the way, Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones from 2002.
2000.
Directed by George Lucas. Written and directed by George Lucas.
I wrote it all.
Oh, you can thank me later. Gobble, gobble.
Coming out with a movie. It's called Attack of the Clones.
Man.
Stupid title. Do you guys remember when Ewan McGregor was first told the title of this film?
Oh, my God. He's doing like press for Moulin Rouge and bursts out laughing.
Yeah, because he didn't know the title until a reporter told him, and he just started laughing.
How does that, I mean, so that movie was like done, he'd made it?
Yeah, it was just episode 2 and they didn't title
Oh, that's
it.
What they just, oh, they so, yeah. So here we are on the set of episode 2, everybody. That's what it was?
Yeah, you know what?
Oh.
There was some scripts floating around because he was like so upset about the fan reaction to Phantom Menace. He's like, well, I guess I'll just call it Jar Jar's Big Adventure.
Oh, man, did he say that?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
What a snarky bitch. Man, way to go, George.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Whatever. This movie, by the way, you want to talk... This should be called Star Wars Episode 2 Course Correction.
Oh, big
because,
time.
Because, like, there's so much, like, haphazard story cutting and, like, making things around because that first one does nothing for this trilogy, in retrospect.
Zero. It's disingenuous to call this a trilogy.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing, yeah, I mean, there's nothing about that first movie that carries over at all, aside from the fact that that first movie has a character named Obi-Wan Kenobi, another named Anakin Skywalker, and Qui-Gon Jinn, as we recall in the Sithmentary, I believe at the end of episode 3, it's mentioned, like, you got to go hang out, go find him on Tatooine or whatever.
He's in the ghost world or some shit.
Yeah, but that's it. Nothing else carries over, man. Like, we go back to the same sets at one point in this movie to see old what's-his-name? The
Watto.
The racist moneylender character.
Yes.
Oh, thank God we had to check in with him.
Oh, sure, dude. What were we going to do if you didn't know what Watto was up to? It's been 10 years.
What? It's not been 10 years.
In the story, it's 10 years.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was only 4 long years in between the 2 Star Wars
movies. Oh, my God. The stuff on Tatooine on this is, oh, boy.
Oh, you're getting caught in a spider's web of spinning your wheels, rather.
Speaking of spinning your wheels, and also speaking of a TV trope of ours, longer than Star Wars, this movie is the longest Star Wars film ever made.
That's true. It's even longer than Force Awakens, which is shocking because in 2015, it's like against the law to have a movie that's under 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Yep. They'll tax you. It's kind of like when you do, like in a basketball team, you get the luxury tax. Like if your movie's less than 2 hours and 25 minutes, you get a little bit of a luxury tax there.
And I was realizing today, because I watched this like 2 weeks ago, took some notes on it, and vowed never to watch it again. So I was waiting for you guys to come over, and I just put it on again because I break promises about never watching movies again all the time.
Sure.
And what I was thinking about was, you know how everybody was like, oh, the reason like those Marvel movies are so smart is because now they're finding ways to make different kinds of movies within the universe. So like Ant-Man is a heist movie. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy is a space opera. Captain America 2 is like a intrigue, 70s political thriller type thing. I feel like that's what he's trying to do with this movie. He's trying to make Episode 2 a political thriller.
Yeah.
And fucking fart in my face, that's the worst idea ever. I want some fucking Star Wars.
Well, he's doing both, because the first act, if you want to call it that, or the first like 48 minutes.
I call them chapters.
It's kind of like a noir thing. There's a lot of shady blinds going on. And there's, you know, some political, but sort of in the middle, we're just doing Star Wars.
But so we start with Natalie Portman, now Senator Amidala.
Her rank of queen does not carry over. She has been, because apparently it's an elected title on Naboo.
Elected royalty, whatever. Like, do you know what words mean, George Lucas? Do you know what it means when you call somebody a queen or a king?
Or at least like say that in the first one. Like, oh, I'm the queen because blah-bitty-blah, and that's it. And then 4 years later, I'm not going to be a queen no more.
Right. Or, you know, something.
I got a quick thing that will make us not talk about this movie.
Good. Thank God.
I was reading the Shattered Empire comic that leads up to The Force Awakens.
Oh, sick.
Unfortunately, Naboo is all over it. Mm-hmm. But Jesus. In an interesting way. Apparently,
is it being blown up by a new Death Star?
Kind of.
Oh.
The Emperor, after his death, institutes Operation Cinder, and he instructs all these people to do... Basically, this Imperial fleet shows up and starts like creating all these hurricanes and destroying Naboo.
Oh, wow.
So thank you, Disney, for taking us to somewhat destroyed Naboo.
Yeah. That's pretty great. Now, and let me ask you this. If I don't read these comics...
You'll be fine.
You're fine. Trust me.
You'll be fine.
These are for pudgy fingers only, my friend.
Yeah, everybody knows well enough, at least now, that supplemental material needs to be supplemental. And I'm looking at you, General Grievous. Listen to our Sith Mentary, because that guy annoys the piss out of me.
Well, we're starting with an assassination attempt.
Yes,
it's Natalie Portman. She lands... We're in our big city planet.
You Coruscant. See, Stephen, there was an attempt on her beautiful life.
And this looks like shit. It's just an explosion of the ship or whatever.
It just blows up. And this is my question about it. So, like, she's not a queen anymore, right? None of the other Galactic Senate senators are riding around with, like, pretending to be somebody else. She's still pretending to be somebody else.
How many people need to die for this lady to live? You know what I mean? Like, because it's like, oh my God, you think the first thing is, oh my God, Amidala got killed, but oops, it's another one of her dupes.
Yeah.
And you know what? No good leader has dupes. This is some Saddam Hussein Hitler shit.
That's very true.
What is she doing on that planet?
I know.
Wow, that's totally true, man. You never, actually, you know what? The film Dave with Kevin Kline. That's the one time there was a dupe. You remember that movie?
Yeah, but Frank Langella was Phantom Menacing that whole thing, so you can't even you can't even say that he's a good dupe.
Dude, at the end of that movie where you see the real Kevin Kline in like a fucking iron lung futuristic chamber thing.
Love it.
Stupid city.
So because of this, there's a meeting between Senator Palpatine or Supreme Chancellor Palpatine at this point.
Sure, you know, whatever his business card says these days.
And the Jedi Council, and by Jedi Council, I mean Mace Windu, Yoda, and three guys that never get to talk in any of these movies, and I'll never know their names because they're never given names.
We got Eggplant Head Guy, the Cone Head, yeah. Who's in all of these movies.
Forgive me, George, for not buying the playing cards.
Yo, honestly, like, who... That's my big problem with all these movies. After once pencils are down, you're like, wait, I don't know what the Jedis are. I still don't.
I have no idea. And by the way, why is there... why?
Yeah, I was going to say you're getting a little hamburger-esque.
Why is there so many gleep-glops aliens? Like, why... I don't want to look at a motion blur on a Photoshop.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm not going anywhere with this except into a pit of rage.
Wait, which Gleep Glops are you talking about? Because this is Jedi. Star Wars, King of the Gleep Glops.
It's King of the Gleep Glops, but they know where to. They used to know where to put them.
You know? In bars,
space
and other,
bars.
Space. Wait,
are you
bars
racistly and... saying a Gleep Glop alien can't be a Jedi, Eric?
No, because. Okay. I'm fine with certain ones.
Only the good ones, I guess.
Yoda's one of the good ones.
He is, because I like the puppets. I like the costumes.
Yes, yes.
My problem with these movies is absolutely nothing looks real, and it ages badly. There's no goddamn sets in these movies.
No, and that's a real problem with this movie in particular, because 2002 was a rough time for CGI still. Like, I think... In Revenge of the Sith, it's totally fine. Like, 10 years out from that movie, it pretty much holds up okay. It's still annoying that you're just watching green screen the motion picture. But, like, I think the best sort of guide you can give yourself for these things is Yoda. And Yoda in this movie looks way cartoonish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, yes.
Like, they're in a meeting after the assassination attempt, and Natalie Portman comes in, and he's like, oh... warmed my heart that you didn't die. Mm. And it's just like this cartoon. Like, I could fucking draw it better.
Like, also, as if Yoda gives a shit about Senator Amidala.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
He's got
not.
Big. This is what he's like, one of the third most powerful man in the galaxy.
He, right. In this point of his life, he is king shit. He is the top of the heap.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. He doesn't have time to be like, oh, some senator didn't die. Do you know all the senators
it'd be great
in
if,
that
like, Mace,
chamber?
If Mace Windu is like, oh, that's Senator Amidala. He gives her like a little like assistant briefing. He's like, we sent her a Christmas card.
Enjoy the Christmas card you did, right? Did you enjoy my brandy? I said, it's actually whiskey. I mean whiskey, I sent you.
And man, he is you're thinking back, like, oh man, watching Empire, like, ooh, I wonder what it was like when Yoda was calling the shots.
Yeah.
Apparently he was a doofus. Because the Jedi are dumb as donkey shit.
Exactly. They can sense anything, but they're sitting next to the devil in this scene. Like, the devil is sitting there radiating hate. Like, you can smell it on him.
Oh, and sure.
So... Obi-Wan and Darth Vader can sense each other. Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader can sense each other from, you know...
planets away.
Yeah, practically, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're passing in ships, and he's just like, oh, boy, I feel Darth Vader's
over
there.
Yeah, he's like, I'm ruining the mission. I shouldn't have come here. Yep. And then, like, when Luke's on fucking Endor... and he's like, my son is down there. I can sense him.
Is like Palpatine like dumping a lot of cologne on him or something?
Dude, I think it's Force cologne. You can just get that Force musk on you. It covers it right up.
Axe is good on you. Smells like shit he does.
Well, guaranteed.
Bathes in it, he must.
Dude. In this fucking galaxy.
He gets ladies from it, though. Palpatine gets all the ladies.
In this galaxy, I guarantee you, it smells like shit. And there has to be a universal scent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like we were talking about universal time zones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all the planets in the galaxy, right?
Right.
It's the same thing. Like, they have to have a universal smell. Because I know Wookiees smell like shit.
Yep.
I'm looking at you, Charmin ads. You told me all about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's something you're putting on these people.
So Yoda, because he cares so much about Padme, is like, for some reason, she's such an important senator that they put Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is like the Michael Jordan of Jedis at this point, right? And
yeah, he's not
on the council, but he's like really making shit happen.
He's like the hot shit guy right now.
And his A number one, his Scottie Pippen, which is Anakin Skywalker, and he puts them on Padme for security detail.
Security detail.
But also, stupid move. He has a past relationship with her.
Yep.
Like, what? It's just going to get in the way, obviously. But also, why does he not sense that Anakin is a piece of shit? And here's the thing. They do sense it.
Yeah.
Him and Obi-Wan and Mace Windu are all like, that kid is a piece of shit. He's arrogant and crazy, and he's going to be the death of us all. But let him be a Jedi anyway.
I love that, because it's like this catty scene that happens in the middle of the movie where they're all like, oh, that kid is arrogant. Like, ooh.
And it's all Obi-Wan.
He thinks he is.
It's all Obi-Wan Kenobi's fault.
Yep.
Started at the seed of this whole thing by Qui-Gon Jinn. Where's your fucking dumbass fan video about how Qui-Gon Jinn was actually a Sith Lord and engineered this whole thing? And let me fucking put a stop to that right now. This Jar Jar Binks shit.
Horse crap.
Just, you know what? Stop trying to find ways to make these movies good. Just accept that they're fucking terrible and get on with your life.
I agree. And there's a little bit of backlash to the backlash going on right now, where articles are like, they're not as bad as you think. I just watched all three of these pieces. And like, I've grown up. I'm not like hurt by these movies. They don't hurt my feelings.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a grown ass man. And I'm like, these movies are not good movies.
They're just bad movies.
It's technically bad.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like, you can like, and listen, it's all right to like a movie. And if you really have to like this one, geez. But I can see, like, your nostalgia. You're like, oh, my God, I was, like, an unimaginable 9 years old or something when this came out.
And it's like, I was on my first date to go see Attack of the Clones, and I was making out with Betsy Johansson in the back of the theater. My God, Attack of the Clones was a good movie. Clouded your judgment is.
Yes.
Yeah. Knock it off. These are bad movies.
I mean, we don't really have to go plot by plot.
No,
I mean,
well, this movie's 2 hours and 99 minutes.
No, but see, so 2 hours and 99 minutes.
Which is actually about 3.5 hours.
There is a detail. There is a detail that I wanted to put out, though. We don't have to go bit by bit with the plot, because we would die of thirst and starvation. But when that explosion happens, an amazing thing that I noticed rewatching it, R2-D2's like on the landing pad and this thing blows sky high. And that motherfucker doesn't flinch.
Oh.
Get your listicle together, R2-D2, Sith Lord.
A fan theory, yeah. I think he's a terrorist. He does attempt to murder C-3PO in this
movie.
Oh,
he does for no reason, because he hates his guts, I guess.
He just pushes him off.
That's the reason, because it's C-3PO.
Yeah.
Dude, if I was in this universe, I would try an attempt at that robot's life every turn I had.
No, I would not. He's useful. He's fluent in over, what, 6 million?
6 million forms of communication. I know. But you could build another robot to do that. One that's not as obnoxious.
Well, if you're reading, actually, I'm really enjoying the Darth Vader series that Marvel's putting out.
Oh, man, I'm missing all these.
It's really good.
These cartoon books. There's an evil C-3PO, and it's awesome. He's like black, and he talks about murdering people all the time.
He's like a torturer. What was his name? Zero.
Yeah, I forget.
Watu-D2?
Yeah. and he's also got an evil R2-D2 next to him, so like every so often, it'll be like, boo-boo-boo-boo-boo, and he's like, that's right. Let's kill them. It's like really. It's
I'm sorry. I was listening incorrectly. I thought you had initially said it was an evil R2-D2, and I was like, "How's he talking?"
No.
It's an evil 3PO and an evil R2-D2.
Yeah, like just
And he's got like red eyes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Are these in what
trade paperbacks?
Yeah.
They got at least one.
Oh yeah, volume one's out now.
Because I can't do this single issue stuff.
No,
I just can't keep much paper in my house.
I tried. It'll break the bank. It broke the bank, and I now have to wait for trades.
Let me bring this up as another thing to just kind of we'll jump around.
We'll
all
be macro
this
with this.
Yeah.
Gotta go macro, not micro.
Jimmy Smits.
He's
what
in it.
Are we thinking?
Oh well, yeah, that fucking sex offender that's walking across this movie.
Is he a sex offender?
The character, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I think we mentioned it on the Sithmentary, but I think he's into some shady
dudes. Oh, yeah,
he said
right.
that every time he comes up to someone in these movies, he looks like he's approaching someone for casual sex.
Yeah, because he's the only guy driving around in, like, this casual convertible. He's got, like, leather pants on or something.
Well, that's
yeah.
something I want to mention. Coruscant, you would think, is like space New York. It's more like space Miami. You know what I mean? Like
it is totally
a lot of
more
hot
space
lights,
Miami.
A lot of hot nights on Coruscant.
Yep, exactly.
Let's get into the hot nights. The club scene. Oh my goodness! When Obi-Wan is offered death sticks in that bar.
Oh yeah,
woof.
Oh man, yeah. I get it, George Lucas. You don't like smoking.
Okay, yeah. So there's that. This character also. Terrible performance.
Yeah,
this,
well, that's that goes without saying. If you're watching Attack of the Clones,
do you guys know the name of this character?
No,
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No,
I didn't get the trading card. What is it?
Well, they actually made an action figure of the guy who tries to sell death sticks to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Why? Who's buying it?
All that's right. A Star Wars tradition. Though. All those guys were given names, and IG-88 wasn't IG-88 until the action figure came.
Oh, really? That,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I kind of get it, but they went too far with the prequels. And by the way. This is, I think, without a doubt, the worst name in Star Wars history.
Ooh, I can't wait, man.
In the entire galaxy far, far away?
Yes. Now, you know the character. He's a drug dealer.
Louis Anderson family feud it for you.
All right.
We asked 100 people. The worst name in Star Wars history is... Bing!
Ilan Sleazebagano.
Oh, shut up. Oh, seriously?
There is an action figure.
Sleazebagano.
And it's Sleaze, spelled exactly like Sleaze.
Uh-huh.
Bagano.
Does he come with death sticks? If I'm buying it, he better have some death sticks.
No, I think that's a choking hazard.
Okay.
Oh, man. Stupid kids ruin everything.
Or some fall asleep pills or whatever else he's got. This Sleazebagano.
He's got a lot of broken condomos in his bag.
It's like he was born to become a drug dealer.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know...
Sleazebagano, man.
And you know what? If someone wants to spend their days on Coruscant doing death sticks, who am I to thumb my nose?
Exactly.
Right. You know what, Obi-Wan? Take your opinions and get the hell out of here.
Not all of us were born attuned to the Force.
Totally. We got to get high some other way.
Oh, shit. Attuned to the Force. That's OT. Excuse me. Chock full of metachlorians, I guess is what we have to say now.
No metachlorian mention in this one. I think maybe in the third one it pops up.
There's a little bit in the third one, yeah. We just kind of drop it in to try to legitimize it again.
I'm thinking The Force Awakens might just drop that all together.
I don't think they're going to say it.
No, why would you?
I would be very surprised if they did.
How many, do we know offhand, just to talk about Force Awakens for a second, how many years into the future it's supposed to be from Jedi?
30, I think.
Is it 30?
I think it's an even 30.
Okay, cool.
Sorry. No, it's okay. This whole scene with the bar and the whatever, and there's that shapeshifter. It's like we're trying to do Blade Runner a little bit.
We're trying to do Blade Runner big time.
Yep.
And it's like the high levels of Coruscant, like up in the sky, like that's where like the one percenters all live up here. Right. But when you get down to street level, it's fucking Blade Runner town. Now, here's my thing too about this bar scene. It's one of the only times in the movie where it's like an almost fully constructed set. It's it's the set with the least amount of CGI.
It's Hayden Christensen actually said, reported, like, that was my favorite scene to shoot because I was on a set and I could see what the fuck I'm doing.
But what is amazing is that there were higher production values on the Saved by the Bell set of the Max than there are at this stupid club that they go to.
Sure.
It looks like a trashy fan film.
Well, we'll fill it in later.
They forgot.
We'll fill it in later.
They forgot.
Here's something. Why is Obi-Wan so apt to rip people's arms off? Like, the shapeshifter pulls a gun on him, cuts the arm off. Like, can't you just force push it? Like, force push that out of the whatever?
There's not enough of these guys using, like, force physics. Like, I would be force physicking every which way.
Yes. And unfortunately...
I'll tell you about, say, force fisting.
I want that, too. But I can't believe...
That's going on in this Blade Runner side of Coruscant,
by the way. Oh, absolutely.
George rather show us force jumping nonstop, which I think Luke Skywalker only does once in Empire.
It's an Empire when he jumps out of the thing before...
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
You know what? Less is more. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see him jumping everywhere.
Unless they can fly. If you want to make them fly.
Oh, don't make them fly.
But theoretically, you should be able to fly.
It would be very difficult, I think, because you're just kind of like wobbling, wobbling.
Right.
Well, could one Jedi make another Jedi fly?
Oh, that'd be
you
fun.
Know what I mean?
I think you definitely. Well, like.
Yoda could probably make the
if
whole
Yoda
Legion
could
fly.
Lift the fucking yes. plane out of the yep. swamp.
Well, the Luke lifts 3PO in Return of the Jedi. So, yes, it's conceivably it could be done.
There should be more of it, though, if you're having them jump all over the place like the Mario Brothers.
You know what? I know we're trying not to do it, but we have to. Let's talk about Hayden Christensen.
Okay. All right.
We really have been mm-hmm. spending a lot of time not doing it.
That plank of wood?
He's not good in this movie.
No.
He's not good in the next movie.
And you know what? The thing is, like, the way this character is written, especially in this movie, most of all, is... I'm like my brain is trying to crawl out of my skull with how creepy and weird he is. He's just like, I've been thinking about you every day since I met you.
He's watching her sleep at one point, and you know, Obi-Wan's like, oh, why'd you turn off the camera? He's like, I guess you didn't like me watching her sleep. And it's like, yeah, dude, I wouldn't either.
He's
yeah, totally.
The biggest psychopath ever.
He's Padme got a real McVay vibe going on in this whole movie.
Padme had to be like, you know what? I'm going to turn the cameras off. You can get your robot in here to watch me sleep. Because R2 is standing at the foot of the bed just like, just yeah, like fucking watching her rest, you know? But she knows
R2,
that...
can I get that tape later?
Exactly. She knows that he's not going to start robot jerking off in her bedroom. But can you imagine, though? He's like, I've been thinking about you every day, like, since we left or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you left. And so that means, guaranteed, she was definitely his first jerk-off fantasy.
I guess
that's
so.
What that
yeah,
means.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. I mean, and probably only, I guess.
You know, I'm so glad these questions are being answered, George, because when I saw Darth Vader invade that ship at the start of A New Hope, I was like, I wonder what that guy jerked off to first.
Oh, sure. Dude, we're asking the hard-hitting questions here on We Hate Movies. She even says to him, I wrote down this line of dialogue. She said, like, they're talking about, oh, we haven't seen you in so long, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, you'll always be a little boy to me?
Gross, because she marries him at the end. By the way, they get legally married at the end of this movie.
And that's what I love. 3PO and R2-D2 are the fucking only witnesses to the arrangement.
It's a bizarre set of circumstances where they can't be together because of Jedi whatever, which is never explained at all.
It's just like the priesthood, like Catholic priest, dude, like vow of celibacy for no reason. Why can't a Jedi Knight go around fucking? You know who was fucking? The Knights of the Round Table.
Mm-hmm.
They were fucking six ways from Sunday. And they were great at being knights.
Yeah.
These knights are terrible. You know why? Abstaining from fucking.
Yeah. You know what? I think you're onto something.
Totally. You can't just have these Jedi jerking off in the bathroom every morning.
It gets them all like crazy.
It does.
Totally.
It's a path to the dark side.
It's this bizarre thing where he can't have they say that they're not allowed to have attachments.
Mm-hmm.
So the two things he can't do is have sex, which would clear his mind and put him in a good mood, probably not cause him to make mass genocide later on in the series.
Sure.
And two, think about his mother, who they have to leave as a slave for some reason and never... He's not allowed to visit her. He's not allowed to free her from bondage at all. It's just sort of like Yoda's like, a slave she must remain for some reason. I don't know.
No, not I do. It's so stupid.
Watto's got the dirt on me, he does.
Yeah.
Watto has pictures, he does.
It's so dumb. And, like, you'd think Qui-Gon Jinn, a tough-ass Liam Neeson, would be like, you know what, disabled bug alien?
Yo.
I'm just going to steal this woman.
Or even worse, like, not even worse, but, like, after all that shit goes on, Qui-Gon gets cooked up, and like 2 years go by, Anakin's like, you know what? I'm acing my tests. Can I get free my mom from slavery by any chance?
Like, is there a form I can fill out or something?
Like what? Not even like she doesn't have to live with me. I don't have to visit her every Christmas. I just like to know that my mother is not enslaved for all time.
Right. Can I ask you guys this? Because maybe I watched it wrong. But when he finally goes to Tatooine to find out what happened to his mother.
Sure.
There's like this, he meets, you know.
Watto.
Not just Watto, but he meets Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yep.
And then there's this like weird guy, like scraggly bearded guy in like a wheelchair. He's like,
Hey, I'm, your mom's my wife. Oh, yeah, the Tuscans took her.
Yeah, well, this dude seems none too concerned.
Well, his name is Klieg Lars, by the way.
Klieg Lars?
Stepfather of Anakin Skywalker. Watto says that
they never talked about. Yeah, they never were near each other, supposedly, I guess.
Well, no, because he says the whole thing is...
It was after he left.
Klieg Lars freed her, bought this woman's freedom, and then married her.
Good. God,
is the purpose he bought her to free her and then like have her be her own thing and then they fall in love or he's like no.
Did you get a good look at this guy?
Yeah,
it was definitely I'm just going to buy this woman.
Hey Watto, you owe me a lot of money there. Ooh, who's that pretty damsel in the back?
Hey Watto, I know how to balance up your books, if you know what I mean.
I'll take three. I'm a space Mormon.
They're all space Mormons, Eric. Eventually, right?
In the end, we all become space Mormons.
You know, one thing. John Williams is sleeping through this trilogy. To my knowledge, he wrote one great piece of music, which I think Duel of the Fates actually holds up to most of the stuff that he's ever done.
It's pretty
good. I think it's really good. But nothing else. Like, there's no other piece of music that even you notice or anything. Like, I'm sure maybe there's like some.
Do you think George was telling him to tune it down? Like,
yeah, it's being a little loud there, John. Anakin's talking about his sexual frustrations, and the music's a little intrusive.
I would like, you know, maybe like a Bob Dylan to come in, you know, like, oh, Darth Vader, should you be good? Should you be good, Darth Vader?
A montage set to that?
Yeah, he's like...
You found out a way to make the movie worse.
Come on, I think that's kind of cool.
Look at all these Jedis sitting in a meeting. Space politics.
Ooh, Count Dooku. What do you do?
Nothing in this movie. Fuck all, nothing in this movie.
Just a Sith in the wind.
Dude, yeah, Christopher Lee is in the wind in this movie, man.
He doesn't come in for 76 minutes.
And we are Dooku in this and Dooku in that in this movie. We're talking about him.
We're talking about him. We're talking about Master Demas or whatever the ever-loving...
San Demas?
Station! No! There's some Cypher Demas or Dias or whatever.
The dude who trained Count Dooku. The guy who...
What?
I agree with
that. Cypher Demas, the dude who Palpatine recounts the tale and when he's getting jerked off in the opera in the movie.
Is that the real name of Darth Plagueis?
Yeah, I think
Good God, who the hell knows?
There's so many stupid names, but that's who I thought it was.
He's the dude who essentially puts in the order with the... He calls in the seamless order for 200,000 clones.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Dude, one of the fucking biggest fart mouth moments of this movie is when Mace Windu and Yoda are talking about... Who put in the order for the clones, for the 200,000 clones? And Mace Windu's basically like, no, they weren't authorized to use the company credit card for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're over by 8 trillion space bucks. We're in debt.
It is so goddamn frustrating that they even...
Fill out the paperwork wrong? You did.
Your budget it is. Have to use it or lose it, you must.
You may as well have a scene where Samuel L. Jackson and a shittily animated Yoda are discussing how many sick days Sam Jackson has left before the year runs out.
You see, Steven, it makes total sense because it's nearing the end of the galactic fiscal quarter. And, I mean, they got to do a couple more orders in, you know?
You got to get those clones. I mean, you might as well use them.
You know, another...
I'm thinking of Minnesotan a little bit.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right.
Ah, you know.
Watching too much Fargo.
Yeah, I've been watching Fargo, you know.
Along those lines of, like, talking about fucking orders for clones and whatnot, there's that other stupid thing where they're talking... It's essentially a Jedi Temple IT problem.
Yes.
Where Obi-Wan is trying to figure out, this section of the archives has been erased. What happened to these archives? And he is in a not even exaggerating goddamn Jedi library.
Which is fine if I understand what Jedi's like. If you're gonna, I just need that 2 minute scene in that first X-Men movie where it's like, this is the Jedi Temple. This is what we do. This is what we believe. This is how we do it. No one's allowed to fuck. You know, this is the library for some reason.
Your religion seems less important when you're pulling up all these electronic files. Bring out the Torah.
Yeah, where are your ancient Jedi documents?
I understand you need copies of those things. Put it on Obi's Kindle, all right? But I need to see, like, oh, that was the original.
Yeah, where is their Declaration of Independence?
Well, somebody apparently, Cypher Demas or Count Dooku erased the planet where the clones are from, right? Like, and that's
from
a big,
those records.
Yes,
right.
And 20 minutes, everyone's like, how could he do it? How could anyone even begin to do this? I don't know. I don't care.
No
and
one
also,
cares.
If there's one planet missing from your galactic map or whatever, of course, Coruscant's a big place. I'm sure there's another. You could find what planet is missing. I mean, and the Jedi need an IT team.
Yes,
they
do.
Need someone to do like the recovery of files and stuff because this is.
Try turning it off and back on again, did you?
Oh, man. Yeah, all this shit about like erasing the planet, it's so convoluted. I'm like, where is any of this going?
Well, he has to go to a diner to find out where this planet is, and that scene sucks.
Dude, that is shit.
Dude, it's Ewan McGregor talking to a short order cook that he's longtime friends with somehow.
Fat dude that he's friends with, and it's this crazy cartoon character.
Yeah.
And don't worry about it. He's got his little Greek mustache because he's working in a diner.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think Lucas told them to add that?
You know, I was at a diner today, and the gentleman that served me my hotcakes had this pretty great-looking mustache on it.
You know who also is in this diner, everybody? Sebulba. He, like, walks out. There's a little bit of Sebulba cameo. Oh. He's like Alfred Hitchcock.
He tries to get on a bus, and it closes the doors in its face.
So he's just walking two little dogs down the street.
Well, Sebulba, I know you're available, but, you know, the facts are in, and nobody's asking for you. Your action figure is not selling. I'm sorry.
Do you think the only way Watto made it in was because his toy was highest selling?
He might have
been.
Lucas looks at that shit, I guarantee
you. Oh, sure he does.
You're bad parents if you buy the Watto toy.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you want to see a disappointed kid under the Christmas tree open up a Watto toy?
Oh.
Oh, like, I think that's a new WHM challenge. Buy your kid a Watto toy.
Oh, totally. See what happens. Take a picture of it. That's what it is. Buy your kid a shitty, nothing Star Wars character like Sleazebag or whatever. Wrap it up. Make sure they open it so they can see the Star Wars side first.
It's Sleazebag, I know.
And then film them be disappointed when it's not Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So I guess the thrust is Padme and Anakin. Padme is still in trouble because Jango Fett, I guess, is still after her. Even though the second they go off on their adventure, the threat of a bounty hunter is gone.
Well, totally, because they leave in the night with no trace, so it's over with.
They take the space bus to Naboo, essentially,
oh,
right?
That's right, yeah.
This Jango Fett line is useless, goes nowhere. I mean, the first sequence was kind of cool when he kills that shapeshifter, but then he's just jerking off in a cup on Kamino. He's one of these guys that's just like, need to make an extra few bucks.
Yeah, it's 50 space bucks a cup, by the way.
It's reprehensible. Also, the fact that you're like, all right, I'm going to do ridiculous fan service, number one, and shoehorn in the Fett family. Number one, I don't need a fucking Fett family. Number two, put your goddamn helmet on.
Yes.
He barely wears it. The character wore it in the movies when everyone loved the character. And now he doesn't wear it.
Well, it's two different people, to be fair.
He's Jango. He loves taking that helmet off.
Maybe it's a thing where he's like in tribute to his dad. He's never taken it off.
How is that in tribute to his dad?
I don't know.
And also, why does he talk exactly like his dad? Do you talk exactly like your dad?
No.
Well, actually, he's a clone of his dad, so that's a little different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Let's make one and see.
Wait, so they
I'm arguing nurture versus nature. I'm team nurture.
Wait, hang on a second, though. So Jango Fett just has Boba Fett.
Yep.
But it's not his son. He just got one of the clones.
That was part of his like fee. It's weird. He's like, I'm sterile. I guess I can't conceive naturally. So hey, I better get a little clone.
You know what that is, by the way? In case Fett Senior starts having kidney problems.
Oh yeah, he's got a little farm,
dude.
A little walking organ farm. Well,
all Boba Fett is a fucking parachute, man. A safety net.
Do you think he writes on his back like they did Mad Max in Fury Road? Organ donor.
Yes,
but also. Okay.
Oh, I thought it was a biological kid. That's fucking disgusting.
He's a clone that doesn't have accelerated growth, so he won't become a man immediately like all the other clones.
Oh, okay.
So he'll live a more natural life, but
till he falls down a Sarlacc pit and dies.
So in this movie, Jango Fett gets his head cut off. Boba Fett's like a little 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sees his father die. He does.
So I guess we're led to believe in between this time, Boba Fett goes and is raised down under. Where you pick up accents by hearing them.
Yeah, that's true.
Your father.
Well, that's
is
probably
dead.
Why. That's probably why he doesn't have it in the new ones. Or I guess he does they read.
Oh, Steven. Oh, Steven. That piece of garbage man, George Lucas, re-edited the movies to have Morrison redub all those lines.
Yeah, I finally just got to the Harmy cut. I've never watched
the despecialized editions.
I watched New Hope, and I'm going to go through the rest of them. And it was a beautiful experience because mm-hmm. it's been 15 years or something since I've seen these movies not fiddled with. It's like having to watch, and I didn't realize how annoyed I was and how like omnipresent that like annoyance of it being fiddled with bothers the rest of the movie, not just the scenes that are actually fiddled with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like having to watch Seinfeld in like 6 inches of ice cold water. Like for 20, nobody else can ever watch Seinfeld unless you're in 6 inches of ice cold water. It's like, yeah, the jokes are still good, but I'm really uncomfortable this entire time.
Well, what's also shitty about it is that these 1990 CGI effects.
Yep.
They don't hold up.
No.
Like,
no.
I was fucking around. I was like, you know, I have the despecialized. I have them burned on a disc. They look great. They sound great. But I was like, oh, you know, I'm kind of curious about these Blu-rays. Like, let's see what's going on.
Sure.
So I got the Blu-ray of the original trilogy. And I'm watching Jedi. God damn it. That fucking little Tina Turner alien. Dude, that thing does not hold up for anything.
No. Of course not.
And it's just dancing around, and its lips are in the fucking camera. It's disgusting, and it looks like garbage. It's worse computer animation than the devil in Spawn. Spawn, ladies and gentlemen.
And you know, when people are like complain about nerds, they're like, oh, you know, they're just remaking the movie. No one's taking your movie away. You can still watch the originals. Well, Star Wars fans can't.
No.
You can't.
Thanks to this like group of heroic fans that fucking fixed it took hours of unpaid time of their lives to do it.
You can find them through them. It's like prohibition. These are like moonshiners on the internet giving me the original cuts of a movie. It's incomprehensible that this is the state of affairs. Look at Blade Runner when they released that Blu-ray of 5 different versions.
You can keep the new ones. You can keep all the new ones you like, and people who like those can watch those. People who don't, which is everybody, can like the other one.
Everyone can be happy.
Yeah. No, I mean, give me that cut of Empire Strikes Back where Red Fox is doing that voiceover narration that they cut out. I'll watch it.
But if they could, please, I never bought the Blu-rays. I would if they included that cut.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wouldn't even mind. Well, I would mind it a lot, but I wouldn't be as angry.
Well, because then it's, you know what it is? Because I have the Blu-ray of Blade Runner with the 5 cuts on it. It's fun to then watch them all and see the differences.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't do it all the time. I'd do it once and then just go back to the theatricals every single time.
George Lucas thinks that his singular vision, whatever it is at the moment, is the definitive version.
It has to be.
He's got bantha poodoo between his ears.
So, I mean, he goes, Anakin's finally works up the courage to be like, look, Padme, I mean, by the way, we've got this romance on Naboo,
dude,
which is just like the rolling hills of who could care.
Oh man,
and the dewy mountains of who gives a shit.
The hills are alive with the sound of horse shit.
Yes,
that's what this is. When their first kiss is somewhere on Naboo, right? And the lead up to it is one of my favorite parts of this movie because the stare down that these two people are giving each other. You would not find two people less eager to kiss each other than these two. I'd rather kiss the two of you more than these two actors wanted to kiss each other.
There'd be some passion there.
Oh, absolutely right. 5 years stuck in a room talking? We got to know each other pretty well.
And there's a little tension.
There's nothing. There's two cold fish being slapped together as these people kissing. It's disgusting, and it's useless. And, like, I don't understand. Like, all right, so let's go through the reasons why Padme loves this dude so much. As he has to, at the end of this movie, get legally married to him to have sex with him. One, she's not allowed to be in any kind of relationship with him. It's a huge fucking hassle because, like, you have to basically be in a secret relationship.
And she's free to be DTF with anybody
else,
right?
Absolutely. She's a senator. Baby.
She doesn't have any of these fucking dumb priest rules.
Mm-hmm. You got that? You've got...
Well, he's entirely hairless.
He's entirely hairless, which you want.
Except for his rat tail and his head.
He has...
Smooth chest is all I'm talking
about. Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
He has fascist leanings. This speech that... Like, he's talking about, like, why can't everyone just do what I say? And she's like, but that's not democracy. And
yep.
And, like, she's like, "That you're silly, Anakin." She saw this kid as a baby and, like, was kind of his babysitter, like...
Yeah.
And later in the movie, he talks about murdering a race of people, women and children. And she's like, "No, that's sweet."
Yeah. He goes and kills this camp of Tusken Raiders and is like sort of upset about it, but not really.
Not really at all. He says they're animals and I slaughtered them like animals. Yikes.
Yep.
Hate speech, in case you were wondering.
Well, yeah, because you know what, everybody? Just because, like, one Tusken Raider killed his mom doesn't make all Tusken Raiders shitty.
That's
it
true.
Doesn't mean we should bar all Tusken Raiders for coming into the country.
He's
okay?
Killing any Tusken Raider that's there. And, like, one guy might be getting up to say, "Hey, you know what? I told them not to do that, and it was fucked up," and he gets killed anyway.
Absolutely. He lightsabers all of
also,
these dudes.
Also, what were they doing with Shim Skywalker?
I don't, I read this on the trivia. Some horse shit. Like, after the fact, novelization or whatever.
Apparently,
Count Dooku, on the orders of the Emperor, paid the Tusken Raiders to kidnap Shmi Skywalker. In this movie, I don't care. Pencils down, it's over.
But that's actually, like, a kind of interesting thing. Like, they're setting Anakin up to fail. Like, do all these things, it's gonna push him towards the dark side. Why wouldn't you put that in the fucking movie? It's already 2 hours and 23 minutes.
I like the idea of Palpatine finding out, like, "Shmi Skywalker is still a slave? My God." "Well, I guess we better use that. I mean, wow, that's easy.
She's married to who?"
"The man's name is Lars."
"Better hire some Tusken Raiders. Put her out of her misery."
But, like, she's tied to this post, and I'm thinking, what are they doing to her?
You've never seen anyone tortured in the Star Wars universe. It hits.
Well,
she's got
Empire Han Solo.
But that's a kind of fun torture, right? It's just like
is
lights.
It?
I think, well, it's just lights.
There's
like,
also an interrogator droid in A New Hope that comes into Princess Leia's cell.
All bloodless, by the way. No cuts.
Oh, yeah.
No bruises. Nothing. Shmi Scar. What Skywalker looks like shit at this. Like, she's got scars all over. She's been.
She's been through. An ordeal,
yes,
to say the least. Yeah,
and he comes over and he finds her, and then he cuts these dudes down.
Why doesn't the Lars fella go looking for him though?
Well,
he does.
Wait, oh yeah, you're right. It is Lars.
It's like something
Uncle
Lars.
Owen and then Lars
Klieg Lars
Lars Ulrich.
He's too busy worried about Napster.
Yeah, that's actually why he was pissed off someone was stealing his space music on the internet.
It was 2002. No, he did, like, "Oh, he's like, I rode out to find my beautiful Shmi Skywalker. Those Tusken Raiders took my leg."
Now, this is an annoying thing. Sometimes I write down lines of dialogue, but I don't remember who said them.
Oh, this is a good game.
Little Star Wars trivia here.
Louis Anderson, who said it?
So the line is, and you guys got to try to remember who said it. "We live in a real world. Come back to it."
I have no idea.
Padme?
I believe it's a Padme
line. It probably
line, is. Because she's like talking shit to him. But man, oh man, thud dialogue right there.
Well, their relationship doesn't make sense and is also... like, and I think Natalie Portman's a good actress. She just... like most people, is given nothing to do in these
and
movies.
She's acting against stick and stones.
Yeah, I mean, this whole like fake James Dean thing he's doing with like the halting way of speaking.
Yeah,
every single dialogue.
It's bullshit. He has a line that follows shortly after that last thud where he says, "I wish that I could just wish away my feelings.
I wish upon a wish."
Yep.
It's so...
I'm angry.
I hate him so much. And like,
I'm horny.
I think about you every day. Let's get married.
R2, are you done with that tape yet? R2, are you done?
You promised the tape.
Why won't they make me master?
Oh, whatever.
Oh, you crybaby.
Everyone hates this kid's guts, man. I guarantee you, like, as he's walking down the halls of Jedi school, he's getting, like, hip-checked, like, three times.
How has Mace Windu put up with all this, by the way?
Mm-hmm. They should make a master Bader instead of Vader.
They should have had a thing where they allowed Sam Jackson to be, like, the Sam Jackson persona in this movie.
At least, like, for one scene.
Where he's just fucking yelling at Anakin Skywalker, really yeah. telling him off. Like, he sort of does it with Palpatine at the end of that third one or whatever.
Not really.
But I want Sam Jackson as Mace Windu just going off on this kid.
You know, it would be great if characters had emotions in these movies.
That'd be cool.
What a treat.
You know, and like...
You're just going to be computers to me. You're just another computer.
I can replace you with a little computer. You could all be Sebulba.
You're just one keystroke away from not being in Star Wars.
You know what's kind of a good part of this movie that I like is the fight between Jango Fett and Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan on that platform. It's raining. Like, you've kind of got some atmosphere going on.
Yeah, it's neat.
And you know what? It's contained to one area.
Yes.
It's a simple fight. We're not jumping all over a lava pit like we see in that next movie.
There's no I mean, there are some platforms because it's a Star Wars fight. You need some platforms.
Oh, sure.
But there's not that many platforms.
It's a manageable amount of platforms.
For a Star Wars fight, for sure.
Sure.
What I love is, Obi-Wan... Jango escapes and goes to this planet, Geonosis. It's about 70-some-odd minutes, so Christopher Lee's coming up, I promise. Jango starts, like, bombing out these, like, kind of cool, like, the seismic charges. Like, a fwang.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, James Newton Howard's cousin calls him up. He's like, "Hey, James, it's me, Marvin Newton Howard. You know that sound you were looking for? Listen to this." Like, oh my god, that's all of my movies now.
And that like little dispersal like blows up asteroids and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which
he's clearing a path. Is that what that is?
Well, he's trying. I think
it's like a space snowplow.
I think he's I think he's trying to chuck a bunch into Obi-Wan's windshield behind him. You know?
That's
it's
right.
Like you're tailgating a plow truck and they release the salt on you. It's just like that. That's relatable.
Don't you hate when that happens?
But yet the Empire in the original trilogy has a hard time dealing with asteroid fields. It's like there's so much military technology that for some unforeseeable reason does not carry over.
Nope. Doesn't make any sense.
We're just wiping memories just like 3PO. All it is.
We get to Geonosis and like finally Christopher Lee, who's the best part of this movie... He's got gravitas. He's got intensity.
Well, he's an actor.
Yeah, that's helpful. Like he,
I think he's old enough to tell George to suck it for a second and and do a scene.
Yes,
making his own acting choices. I feel like everyone else got stifled.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? Thankfully, he's promptly beheaded in the next movie for actually being a character.
Well, originally I had him being the main baddie, but after he told me off on the set of episode 2, I just made some revisions.
Looks like you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
Part's been cut.
I just love that it took the gravitas of an 80-year-old man to fucking get some swagger in this movie of some kind.
And, you know, like, just make him the villain. Like, make him in the first scene, the third scene, the tenth scene. Like, make him a presence in this movie as opposed to an afterthought.
It would save so much time and useless character undevelopment.
Yes, and bullshit mystery that nobody cares about.
No, I don't. Again, let me remind everybody. No one cares who erased those fucking archives.
No, my God, I don't.
No one cares.
Or who ordered this clone. Like, oh, come on, guys. Who ordered all these pizzas? That's essentially where we are with most of this movie.
God.
And, you know, like, Obi-Wan, who's kind of... the problem I don't like about... Obi-Wan, like, ciphers between being the best Jedi of all time and, like, a complete ninny. Like, in some scenes, he's just like, oh, Anakin, please help me. I don't know what to do. And other times, he's kicking ass.
Well, other times, he's literally, like, jumping out of a window on Coruscant and, like, flying 500 feet to land on a car.
Yes.
And it's like, all right, you can do that, but you can't track somebody without needing assistance from another person or whatever these, like, light tasks he's trying to do.
Man, you know, if these movies were just Obi-Wan as the badass, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Anakin Skywalker being a good, decent character. Like, I want some, like, the fall has to be far. I can't have a guy that's a piece of shit and stumbles and becomes a bigger piece of shit.
The biggest piece of shit in the galaxy.
I need to see a bona fide hero.
Yeah.
And I need to see, you know, like, two movies of it, of him just kicking ass.
Yeah.
And being a... Okay. Yeah, and, like... I just
oh,
hate this.
Oh, Darth Vader, should you be good? That's what I want. That's what I need in these movies, is that cool Dylan song I made up.
Falling from grace at a quickening pace.
I just... And, like, I don't know, like, he buries his mother, and he has this really awkward scene with Padme where, like, he tells her that he killed all these people. And
while he's throwing things around a garage.
That's the best part. He's like, he's holding me back. And he, like, throws this cup. And it's, like, that great moment where, like, the room's too far. And, like, the cup just kind of, like, you want to throw a cup. You want it to either break or hit a wall immediately.
Right.
Yep.
He's holding me back. Clank. So, oh, wow, that was really intense.
What I noticed in this scene that's really annoying is they kind of have, like, you know, Anakin's old workshop or whatever, but they want to make it look way bigger, and there's just a shitty, like, green screen behind, and it's such a fake, like, bonus room behind them. Like, just have them in small quarters. These people live in poverty. Who cares?
And, you know, what did this movie cost to make? $200 billion?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Just build some fucking sets. Is it that hard? Is it that hard?
No. I want some also Uncle Owen a little bit. Because by the way, Joel Edgerton.
A then not famous Joel Edgerton.
All he does is say, "Hi, I'm Uncle Owen. This is my girlfriend, Beru," which is the dumbest thing in the world.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, Beru does pour some milk in this scene, which I appreciate. I need a little milk pouring from Beru.
Did you notice, Stephen, that I changed it to red milk this time? You see, it's not blue milk. It's red milk.
You're not the only one that can have a careful attention to detail. See, look at me.
They had a different dewback at the time.
And what is a dewback?
Big green things that...
Well, it's big, like, darkish. It's like more of a black... It's what they added... I mean, I could be wrong.
Sure.
But the stormtroopers in the special editions are riding them around.
Oh, okay.
I think that's them.
And you're drinking milk from those things?
I mean, this... Actually, it might be bantha milk.
Could be milk.
Which is like the hairy... Woolly mammoths that the Tusken Raiders ride?
Yeah. Oh, those animals.
Animals riding animals. Huh. Funny, I never saw garbage eat garbage before.
What is this, Planet of the Apes?
It's insane.
Did we ever solve the mystery as to why they have horses in Planet of the Apes?
No.
Wait, in Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, they ride horses.
Why not?
Well, it's a fucking planet where there's literally nothing but apes.
But there were humans.
The asterisk is on the title.
Oh, of course.
Right.
I never look at the poster clear enough.
And horses. And, I mean, so, like, he gets a text from Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. More or less, honestly.
It, D2 breaks up Shmi Skywalker's funeral. And like, you know, Klieg's like, ah, I guess I overpaid. Wonder if I can get my money back from Watto.
Where is that receipt? where is that? Lifetime warranty, my ass, Watto.
What's your return policy? I mean, you could still find some good use out of her.
Well, she was already burned, as per Star Wars Universe tradition.
I mean, yeah, you get some fuel out of that. I don't know.
Can you use the ashes of my dead wife to power a small cruiser?
I just want credit towards the next one. That's what I'm talking about here.
I think I have one more on my punch card before my next ex-slave wife is free.
Oh, he's just got a graveyard full of them.
Oh, sure, dude.
I mean, you got to knock $5 off there at least. I mean, I'm a valued customer.
Oh, I know who's paying these Tusken Raiders, by the way. Ah, she's getting a little mouthy there. Oh, you guys want to go take care of it?
Oh, man, a fucking staged kidnapping?
Yeah, oh my God, my wife was kidnapped.
Ah, listen, you know, my old lady's giving me all this heck. I'm going down to Mos Espa Spaceport to get a drink or two. Giving all me kind of hell. So, why don't you just put a scare into her, all right? Oh, no, I lost a leg.
You know, her son's a Jedi Master. You might as well take my leg. I need to make this look good in case the authorities or the Jedi Knights come by.
Just do it. I'm ready. Just do it.
I owe it to a couple bookies anyway. Space bookies.
Watto, you sell some mouthy slaves there, is all I'm saying. Klieg Lars.
Now my new favorite character in the Star Wars universe. Whatever. I mean, so they have to go to Geonosis as well. This is when a...
Now, just so I... Because I'm bad with planet names. Geonosis is where they're...
With all the bug people.
The arena.
And all, yeah, the arena.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Where it turns into a Ray Harryhausen movie for 47 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. The end sequence of this movie is the big temple thing and then, like, all the gunfight and all that stuff, which is all fine.
Yeah.
Lucas, for some reason, added this incredibly long sequence after principal photography of the warehouse scene of the factory with all the little gleep-glop robots where they get made.
Oh, is this where they're manufacturing battle droids? Is that the idea?
Like, yeah.
The battle bots.
That was
bots.
An add-on scene. Because he was like, I don't know. I mean, I kind of... Where are the droids made? Who knows?
Let's figure it. So many questions that no one was asking.
We go to the clone planet, then we'll go to the droid planet.
Oh, I made these droids too. It's all me.
Oi, I'm just back here tinkering on these droids. I don't know.
Whatever. I mean, like...
Down under.
This is where...
Down under. We're Dan Ender making droids.
And this is where Christopher Lee is. He's hiding out here.
Yeah,
this is
all these, like, expendable, weird, like, anyone who gets killed in the Star Wars universe is like a person, like, they get cut, they're dead, they fall down.
Right.
These bug people are getting decapitated, cut in half. It is brutal.
They're animals.
That's how you get hardcore without getting an R rating.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, if you had a bunch of Christopher Lee decapitations in this movie, he'd be fighting that ratings board. But because they're gleep glops, you can decapitate, you can fucking stab a baby alien in the stomach with a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter none, it ain't no human.
And on that effect, we don't have the Wilhelm screams at all in these movies, right? Instead, we have this new one, the alien version. Woo! What was that? It was something
it's obnoxious.
Like,
it's terrible. You're doing a better job at it than the actual sound.
Because it's coming from an organic life form.
It's not made by a computer.
Yeah, it's not a synthesizer.
You know what, Watto? I don't want any bug people. What I'm looking for are human ladies. What do you got in a white lady?
Oh, God damn it, Watto. I didn't even know there were female Wookiees. I mean, I want to live a little. I'll take a Wookiee. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I'll figure it out.
One of them blue things with a snake on the top of her head. What are they called? Give me one of them blue Medusas. I'll marry that. You got one of them, Watto? I'll marry a blue Medusa.
What are they? I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. You know what I'm talking about. That's the only
thing. You got a fully functional droid there, Jawa. You know what I mean? No, I don't need Anakin or protocol. I need something that knows the ways of lovemaking.
Watto, come here, my good man, all right? Keep this between us, all right?
can you get me an Ewok? Not if you could get me an Ewok. Watto, my good man, I'll throw in an extra credit if you shave it. Yeah, you can take, you know what? You get me an Ewok, you can take the other leg. I half price. But marry an Ewok, I don't need any legs, okay?
Yeah, you can just hop up there.
It'll be fine.
Use the carbon in my leg to power your speeder.
Oh, shut up, Owen. You'll understand when you're older. Beru will get old on you. You think Beru's going to stick around forever? You think you're going to leave this moisture farm and go start a rock band? You're my son. You're going to fucking farm this moisture like me. Gonna fuck a shaved baby Ewok with no legs. You'll be 60 someday too, Owen. Judge me.
You look like, oh yeah, you look like Joel Edgerton now. You got all the looks of the world. But eventually, you're going to look like a 60-year-old American actor. And then where will you be?
Be fucking a baby-shaved Ewok. That's where you'll be.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Better hope my man is still in business by the time you need his services.
Fucking sandies all over this fucking desert. Why did I fucking move here?
So they get captured, and now, you know what my least favorite line in any Star Wars is? Not in the first ones, but ever since is, I've got a bad feeling about this. They're scheduled to be executed. Their hands are bound, and Anakin Skywalker has the balls to turn around and be like, you know, I got a bad feeling about this. You know, this execution that's about to happen.
Oh, man, and God. You know what's annoying about that is in that situation, you're clearly making a joke.
Yeah.
Now is not a time for gag humor.
No, no.
Or gallows humor, if you will. You're about to be killed.
Can we say that Natalie Portman's last outfit in this movie is eerily reminiscent of Britney Spears' Toxic video a little bit?
You're not wrong.
It's very 2002, this movie. Like, the haircut, like, you know, what Hayden Christensen, it's very, like, NSYNC looking, you know what I mean?
Aside from that rat tail, yes. But yeah.
And she's got, the, you know, like, that's the style, as was the style at the time.
But what's amazing about that at the time style is that it's one of those, like, accidental costumes.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's just, like, you know, dressed up in her I'm going to do this mission outfit or whatever. And then, like, these monsters start clawing at her and tearing her clothes.
Whatever.
And then she looks like sexy toxic video costume.
It's so... oh, my God. That's what... this monster wanted to see some skin, I guess.
That's pretty much what's going on here. Because it's... that monster could easily scale that column and get her and doesn't. Because he's got a great view.
It's very obviously like you wanted some... well, I wanted some kind of slave Leia kind of thing, you know?
That's exactly what you're doing.
This trilogy needs it. Little sex.
Yeah, every royal female needs to be stripped and fight with a chain at some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're totally right.
She's fighting this thing with a chain.
Oh, I can't, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, Watto. It kind of did it for me. Thanks, now, Watto.
Now the shackles are on the other foot.
Just a sort of a thing that, you know, always kind of followed me around, that whole shackle thing, you know?
Now, dancing around with these monsters and whatnot, is this before or after... Padme's on that conveyor belt.
That's that whole scene that he added for no reason.
So that's before this.
Yes, 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 yes.
That shit looks like she's on an episode of Nick Arcade. She's got to jump over the thing, and it's the flying carpet, and look
here
out for
here we go,
the...
a Nick Arcade. Do, 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 do.
It just, I mean, where?
Watto, can you get me some sentient guck?
I think you mean gack.
Yeah, that too. You know what? Give me the guck and throw in some gack.
But give me some moon slime. I'm going to have a real long weekend.
Oh, Lord. Who knew?
Klieg Lars.
Uncle Owen's father was just a real scumbag.
He was. I mean, look at him. I mean, just look at him.
I mean, this is all... we're just reading lines of dialogue. Mm-hmm. That's all.
By the way, if you're listening to this, it is canon.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is now Star Wars canon.
So, all the Jedi show up, which is like, you know, what, 40 or something like that? Sure. I never get a full count on how many Jedis we got.
No, I think that's kind of on purpose.
Yeah.
They're sort of just like, it's not an army, but there's a lot of them.
And you would think 40 fucking Jedi versus a bunch of bug people and some robots, it's a rout, right? No,
yeah.
But some of these Jedis are getting killed.
Yeah. Well, there are some snipers going around, yeah. I feel. But let me ask you this, though. It's like, I mean, they're clearly outnumbered between, yeah. like, the battle droids that come in and all these right. gleep-glops and then, like, the big-ass monsters that still yeah. have to be killed. They are clearly outnumbered at least, like, I would wager as high as 15 to 1.
Yeah, sure.
Cut to the next movie where they're being taken down one by one by at most three dudes at a time. That, and again, see the Sithmentary, but that fucking ambush of those Jedis at the end of that movie is ridiculous, especially because in this movie, they fight a whole battle and they're all just as awesome as the next
one. And they're winking at each other, like having a good time.
Oh yeah, it's going to be, they'll be joking about this, like remember that time in Nicaragua? They're going to be laughing about this battle one day. That's the way they're carrying this off. And then they're slaughtered so easily in that next movie.
But they have to get saved by the Clone War, the clones that Yoda comes in.
And I'll tell you what, I remember when I saw it in theaters and when I watched it for this, that shot of Yoda flying in on that helicopter, I think it's badass as fuck. I think Yoda looks really cool. Oh, yeah,
and
dude.
And they're playing Ride of the Valkyries.
Yes, exactly. And he's got that pointy helmet on.
Today is...
A good day to die today is.
That I was going to say, but what I meant to say was, I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Also pretty good in this scene. Gets a little plus one for me. Like, you know, a little level up is Jango Fett getting beheaded. It's a real... You get to see Sam Jackson cut somebody's fucking head off in a Star Wars movie.
Yep.
I'm okay with it.
It's totally awesome.
It's the first beheading in all of these movies. And, you know, OT in included as well.
Yeah, no, there's zero beheadings in that movie. You know what? Didn't have the technology at the time. couldn't believably behead someone.
I would wager in a few years, I guess since he sold it, he can't, but I could see him retconning that out.
It
was a little too violent.
That's what's interesting, though, about these movies, is they are much more violent. Mm-hmm. Than the original trilogy.
And he's, like, worried about death sticks and whatever else and, like, worried about Han not shooting first because he has to be a good guy. And it's like, you're cutting people's heads off of those movies, man.
Han was also a goddamn drug runner.
Yeah.
He was...
Dude, those spice runs,
Death sticks. He had lots of death sticks in the, on the Millennium Falcon.
In that Han Solo movie they're doing, I know I'm not really a fan of the idea but... If they're going to do it...
Let's do it.
I want drugs front and center, and he's fucking cool as shit with them.
Yep. Oh, totally.
And fuck you little kids at home that for some reason you're going to start doing all the drugs in the world because you saw Han Solo selling them.
Kids?
That's his life.
Kids, just smoke weed. It's not going to kill you, and by the time you're old enough to actually do it, it's going to be legal anyway.
All the Gleep Glop Jedis that have absolutely no name, some live, some die.
Sure.
There's the bug-eyed guy who's pretty cool looking. He does some stuff. I don't know what he's about. I'm not going to buy the action figure. I'm a grown-ass man watching a movie.
Conehead Man isn't that great in battle, but he's participating.
Yeah.
Speaking of a guy I want to see get decapitated.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I want to see the cylinder sliced.
Dude, get cut off mid-cone, and like it turns out his brain is just that entire squash shape. How cool would that be?
Did they just get the foreskin?
Or it's like MTV's The Head, and there's a little monster inside there that comes out.
Yeah, why not?
Dude, good liquid television.
Are you exactly my age? Because you might have got that joke. If you're any older or any younger, you're in trouble.
You're totally right. There is a small window for people to know about The Head.
So basically, they all get on space helicopters, and the clones are killing. It's a pretty cool fight. But I'm kind of exhausted at this point. I'm very exhausted. There's been so much nonsense.
Yeah.
That fucking conveyor belt scene went on forever. The Harryhausen scene kind of goes on forever because there's this other set. It's like nine set pieces thrown together.
Yep.
This movie's so top heavy that I'm so tired by the end of it.
Well, because, we got way too many balls in the air. And we realize, like, we're already at an hour and 45 minutes. And it's like, we better start figuring this out. This scene, though, like, when they're about to be killed in this whole thing, I think is where I feel to be the worst line of this movie, where he says, I've been dying a little bit each day. Or she says, I've been dying a little bit each day since you came back into my life. I love you.
Try working that into your wedding vows, by the way. I've been dying a little bit each day ever since. You're my best friend, my partner in crime, and I've been dying a little bit each day ever since I met you.
I mean, holy shit,
wait,
that's
what?
Terrible.
All right, you can say, because there's only people here are two robots.
Well, there is like some sort of official that's like doing the ceremony.
Yeah,
do you think
yeah.
that they had that guy killed?
Somebody did.
No one can know about this union. So yeah. you're going to get a lightsaber right through the fucking chin.
I bet.
Out through the head.
Right after I do, that's what happens. And they yep. bathe in his blood. And they have their carnal.
Yeah, just all right there.
Yeah, right yep. there. Mm-hmm, while R2's videotaping it for part of Anakin's collection.
Hey, Anakin, I noticed I wasn't invited to your wedding. You got a problem with my Ugnaught bride? Yeah, I'm married to an Ugnaught. Oh, yeah. Hey, Anakin, I saw your sex tape on the space internet.
He's definitely got a sex tape out there, right?
Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah.
Hey, Anakin, you blocked me on Facebook. Hey, Anakin, if this is going to work, we got to be friends. Friends first, Anakin. Hey, Anakin.
He goes, basically, they're trying to shoot Count Dooku down, and this is the most bullshit line. Like, they have him right in his sights. He's on a pretty cool speeder, and they're like, oh, shoot him down. And they're like, oh, we're out of rockets. What? You have lasers.
We're out of rockets. Laser rockets?
And it's too late because Count Dooku has put his sails up.
Yeah.
It's got like solar sails that...
The solar flares or whatever he's got going on in this thing.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a silly little device.
Let's talk about the last fight, which is...
Yeah.
Again, you want to talk about pretty okay things.
It's okay. Movie.
Pretty okay.
What fight is this?
The Dooku, Obi-Wan, Anakin, later Yoda fight.
No thanks.
No thanks?
Really?
Yoda running around with this lightsaber. Ugh.
Well, that gets stupid. But before that, though, when it's Obi-Wan for like 2 seconds and then a pipe falls on him, but then Anakin's fighting with him.
He gets very much macho man knocked out. He's like, oh, man, you got to go. Keep fighting, man.
Dude, that happens to Obi-Wan Kenobi a lot in these movies
yes.
to like make way to like make Anakin a hero.
Every movie, right?
Yes.
He's just getting knocked on his ass.
Isn't Phantom Menace or Qui-Gon's get his ass knocked?
Oh, well, Qui-Gon gets killed in Phantom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Got to rewatch that one.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Bummer.
I don't mind the Yoda thing. I think it's kind of fun. The weird thing is Yoda is screaming throughout this thing, which he's like, "Rawr!" How is that not using hate in a fight? Like, how are you like bellowing out screams of anger while you're fighting this Dooku dude? And you're not like,
your judgment is clouded, Yoda. That's for sure.
Personally, I never needed Yoda on the battlefield. Palpatine's not on the battlefield.
He is in that last one.
Use it sparingly is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
the fact that he's dancing around these fucking movies.
Well, that's why I hate in the next one when he's like throwing tables at him.
Yeah.
That's when he gets the table and he's like,
I'd rather,
honestly, and spins it around.
I'd rather have that than him using a lightsaber because it kind of makes no sense. It's like you're fighting the floor.
Yeah.
It's like, and he's supposed to be so good at the Force. What does a lightsaber matter anymore? Maybe make some time. Like, you know, there's Force lightning when you're so good with the dark side. What's the light side equivalent? Oh, nothing.
It should be a Care Bear stare.
He should
have light come out of his tummy and kill him.
Or maybe
like use, you know, if you can lift, again, if you can lift a plane with your Force power, crush his head.
Yeah, that's
scrunch.
You should be able to just turn this dude into juice.
I'm crushing your head. I'm crushing your head.
Exactly. Just turn him into juice, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Juice that Dooku. Some Dooku juice.
If the light side version of Force lightning was the juicer, holy shit, I would love it.
One thing that I hate about the special effects of this movie is they keep popping a 80-year-old Christopher Lee head on stuntmen.
Oh, yeah.
It's so obvious.
It looks
terrible.
It looks like a bad Jib Jab cartoon.
It does.
This whole movie looks like a Jib Jab.
But it is.
Who do you want to star in the movie today, Stephen? I'll send you an e-card.
Oh, look, Stephen, now you're in Star Wars. Happy birthday.
You know, Stephen, I'm pushing technology forward by moving Jib Jabs in a whole new direction. I'm an innovator, Stephen. This is you and your kids fighting Star Wars. Jim Jam style.
That is the prequel trilogy in a nutshell.
Sure. It's an e-card.
We might get some hate for this.
But
good. You know what? Bring it on. Explain to me why you think this is good. Please.
You know what? We haven't said it all in this movie because he was cut out because Lucas was terrified of the fan reaction. Jar Jar Binks. So people are like, oh, you know, if you take out Jar Jar, those movies aren't half bad. Those movies are a lot bad.
It's whole bad. It's not half bad. It's whole bad.
Definitely whole bad.
Because so Jar Jar's at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just like rolling with Padme still.
Well, no, she's like the senior senator from Naboo and she's the junior because now Palpatine has moved on from that role to be chancellor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so he's a full-on politician.
They filled the vacant Senate seat that Palpatine left with Jar Jar Binks.
You know why? Because in the beginning, he had a reality show that people loved so much, and it was kind of hilarious. He came out, I was like, oh, Jar Jar is running. What's he going to say next?
Yeah. And he just kept saying all this stupid shit, dude. Everybody thought it was fucking hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Next thing you know, he was elected to office, and he cast the crucial vote that puts that motherfucker at the top of the food chain and destroys the Galactic Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all Jar Jar's fucking fault.
Oh, is he a Dark Lord of the Sith?
I think according to that genius fan theory, something, he uses a drunken master fighting style.
According to author Cheeto Crumbs, he is a Dark Lord of the Sith.
Dude, that guy's got his doctorate in film theory.
Shout out to Cheeto Crumbs.
Changed the way I look at these movies. Thank you, Cheeto Crumbs.
Good on you, Cool Ranch Fingers.
Well, that's the thing, dude. You got Mom's Basement writing all those articles about how, like, this was his Star Wars.
Yeah.
And you're like, whatever, Mom's Basement. I guess we're just from a different time.
I know. Call me Daddy Daycare. I don't believe in this.
Man, so where does this even end? I mean, it ends with the wedding.
It ends with the wedding. Basically, you see Palpatine, like, with all the, what do you call it, the clones marching and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Darth Sidious shows up, and he's like, hello, Lord Tyrannus. And, like, Christopher Lee's like, can't wait to not get beheaded in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
In 10 minutes screen time, if you're watching these back to back, my head's on the floor.
Oh, I'm Lord Tyrannus. I've been saying Dooku. I've been using my lightsaber as Dooku. I haven't been using my cool name.
Oh. There's Cypher Diaz. There's Count Dooku. There's Lord Tyrannus.
Wait, did we figure out who Cypher Diaz is?
I don't even know.
I don't know.
There's so many bullshit Jedis that I don't care about.
The thing is, like, the cool thing about Anakin Skywalker falling to the dark side, being presumed dead by everyone, pretty much, you know, he's hiding with the name Darth Vader. It's not his fucking clubhouse name.
Right, exactly.
It's his new alias.
And he's constantly covered up so nobody could even, you know what I mean?
Major Imperial officers don't even believe the Force or that religion exists.
But how is it, though, that they see him do shit like choke people and they're not believing now?
Then they start.
They think he's like a magician. Like, sorcerer's rays. Nice one.
Hey, Watto, let me ask you something. Can you get me like a realistic looking doll of Cypher Diaz? Don't ask any questions, Watto. Just can you do it? And I mean life size.
Mostly because I just want to know what the hell he looks like. I don't know. They were talking about him.
Yeah, I ain't going to fuck him. I just want to see what his face looks like and how tall he is.
No can do, Lars. You bet too large on the Vikings. They didn't cover the spread.
Oh, shit. What? Is this going to jeopardize my Ewok order?
Please tell me that's not going to happen because Christmas is coming. Excuse me, Life Day is coming.
Oh, man. And then, so we're just left to wonder, like, what's going to happen. And how's you can find out on our Sithmentary.
How's it all going to make sense? It's not.
Are there ways that this movie could have been better?
Millions. I mean, like, really, you could have, I think, a better actor as Anakin. And, you know, realistically, like, let's just call the first one a wash. If Lucas was like, oh, I took a bath on that.
I mean,
yikes.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
you know what? You haven't directed a movie in a really long time. You were rusty.
Yeah, you're like, oh, man. You know, and like, there's all that stuff coming out where, like, he approached Ron Howard. He approached all these people to make these movies, Spielberg himself. And they didn't want to do it. They're like, we want to see you behind the seat, George. We want you to do it.
Jesus.
You know, after that first one, he should have just gave it up.
Yep.
Yeah, just been like, I wrote the script. Maybe you bring someone else on, like Kaz didn't, like they did for these new ones.
Totally.
To give it a polish, make it sound real.
get a real director
and you don't need Ron Howard. You can get some younger upstart to do it, mm-hmm. and it would have been a better movie for it.
Get David Lynch, man. He's been chomping at the bit for Star Wars, apparently.
One of these days I'm going to get to direct one of them daggone Star Wars pictures.
It would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Think about the creature design.
Mm. Oh, man. Just that alone, it would be fucking worth it.
Oh, but man, no, Klieg Lars has a boner already. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, my God. Look at this. The new catalog of Gleep Glops came out.
By David Lynch.
Watto. Can you get this one? Yeah, the centerfold, the number, page 58. It's Thing July 2090 billion.
Now, no one's recommending these, right?
No.
It's a formality for this part of the show.
For some reason, you have never seen the prequels. Only watch Revenge of the Sith because it's what everyone says the good one, which it's not.
Sure.
Just so you could sync it with our Sithmentary.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just so you can give us money.
First and foremost, purchase the Sithmentary.
But other than that, don't watch these movies whatsoever.
I mean, Force Awakens is coming out in a couple days.
Yeah.
We'll know then how much, you know, homage they paid to the prequels. I think it's probably just in name only. Like, you'll probably hear a Naboo thrown around or, like,
sure.
maybe a Genosis or, you know, like, maybe just background noise.
I think
that's about it.
Definitely be, at least one scene or line or something of them kissing that ring.
But that's it. I don't think you're going to have to watch that to understand this at all.
No, but this is my thing. And I don't know if I'm, like, flip-flopping here because I don't remember what I say on things because I say a lot of things every week
sure.
on this show. But right now, as I'm feeling it, as you said, there's a few days until Force Awakens comes out. I think you should see all of those prequels. Because I feel, one, it's totally okay to watch bad movies.
Oh, of course.
Because make no mistake again, I don't care what you say, these are bad movies.
Yep.
And, you know, learn to appreciate how bad things could have gone.
Yeah.
And I'm referencing the fact that I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for these people to start hating on Force Awakens.
It will
fucking
happen.
Thursday night. It's going
to
happen.
To be fair, it could be bad.
It could be bad.
It could very
I just
well
know
be
that
bad.
There's already people that are ready to talk shit about it.
Sure.
But so to those people, and if you haven't seen these movies, like, watch them.
Yeah.
Watch how bad it could still be.
Yeah. Yes. No,
watch how good we have it with the original trilogy. And, I I don't know about Force Awakens. It could be dog shit. It could be great. It could be just okay.
I mean, I think that's the thing. That's what I'm really excited about Force Awakens. It's not so singular a vision. And community thinking can certainly steer you wrong. But, like, people that grew up with this stuff that, like, really thought about it way too much and got, like, that's what I think why those Star Wars comics that Marvel's putting out are really good.
Yeah.
Some of that other stuff is, like, that expanded universe stuff is cool is because people, like, get inspired by it. Like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? And they're taking it a slightly further on, like, Star Trek. You know what I mean? Like, all the Star Trek things that happened, if it was just Gene Roddenberry writing and directing every episode of Star Trek, it would have been fucking terrible.
Totally.
People needed to carry the ball forward. And I think that's hopefully what's going to happen with Force Awakens. It could be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you said it there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see.
Now, we're talking. It's out in a few days. Does everyone in this room have tickets?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, good. We all got tickets.
I'm in line right now. I'm live from the lines.
Right. Imagine now, we just recorded this episode waiting online to watch Star Wars. That'd be great. That's Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, directed, of course,
by George Lucas.
If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over on sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook, and of course, follow us on Twitter. We're at whmpodcast. Don't forget that Sithmentary. We're plugging it, obviously, this
CD
whole episode.
Baby, right?
CDBaby.com.
And it'll eventually roll out to
yes.
Amazon and iTunes. We don't know what the price points are there yet.
Yeah.
But keep your eyes peeled if that's your preferred
method.
Just
do CD Baby because it's out now.
You can get it now. That's the
and
thing.
It's one price that we approve.
And what is that price?
I believe it's $2.99.
Oh, come on. That's $1 an hour.
Hey, you got anything for $1 an hour, Watto? What do you got?
Now,
oh, I got this bucket you could pee in.
What else can I do with that bucket besides pee in it?
Figure it out, I guess.
Now, as we stated before, we're done with the clues. Next week, Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah,
Dudley Moore,
John Lithgow's in that movie. The Silkins are involved. The Salkinds.
Who's playing Santa Claus?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's just some nobody dude.
Yeah, it's
not Dudley Moore.
It's not Dudley Moore.
And what
the
do
lead.
You want for Christmas, little girl?
Yeah, yikes.
Well, that would be like Santa at an office party.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Santa at a mall. I would hope.
Are you sure?
I don't know. It was just a joke I made up. In my mind, it was Dudley Moore dressed as Santa Claus talking to a grown woman.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, so Santa Claus the movie with the Salkinds involved. Remember, gang, they're the ones that ruin Superman for everybody.
And they're about to ruin Santa Claus.
Oh, totally. So until next week with Santa Claus the movie, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisko.
May the Force be with us all.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.